Thank you, Brad and the music team, for preparing us with beautiful songs that speak directly to what we'll be looking at today. I just wanted to read our passage together, not the complete part, but just a couple, excuse me. I don't know what is going on with my shoelaces today. I have tied them up about six times already. All right, let's read our passage together. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Very easy. Well done. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus' words to his disciples at a time that we find ourselves in again. At the moment, the culmination of Christmas, the end of the Christmas season. Not long ago, you would walk into any shopping centre around and you would hear it. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." The greatest story ever told, echoing through retail speakers, creating this extraordinary opportunity for us believers to be able to share our faith in Jesus. Christmas, if we don't realize it, transforms what often is a secular space in the world to mission fields ripe for harvest. Melinda Cousins, who's the director of the Baptist Churches movement in South Australia and Northern Territory, echoed this point in a newsletter she sent out to us at the end of the year. She said she never ceases to be amazed and even a little perplexed when she hears the most profound theological truths being played through the supermarket speakers at this time of year. She quoted a number, but one of them was, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity." Even our carols at Lighthouse event and our Christmas morning service testify to this, with our visitors outnumbering our regular attenders almost 2-1. It's clear that at this time around Christmas, the world is more open. The world is looking for something, for a real hope in their hopeless situations. People are more interested in finding truth that can truly change their circumstances. And as we've even seen this last month through our Christmas series, people are looking for true light to shine into the dark situations of their lives. Just like we saw during his ministry, when the people were seeking for something more than what they had. I don't have it up because I got rid of it. But the verse before what we read says in Matthew 9, verse 36, it says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." And then he said to his disciples what we just read. Just as shoppers were filling centres, seeking for Christmas gifts, for people, we still see them around seeking for something else as well. Something far more precious, hope and meaning for their life. Just like Jesus' disciples, we stand in the midst of this spiritual harvest season right now. But what is our role in this season? What is our role in this prime opportunity that has been placed before us? Well, in the passage we read, Jesus makes it quite clear. He says, "Get praying. Pray earnestly to the Lord. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the seeds that have been sown when these Christmas seasons have come around. Pray for the openness of people towards God and the Holy Spirit's work to be stirring in their lives to take the next step. Pray earnestly for the laborers to be sent out into this harvest and equipped to gather the harvest to him." Surely as a church family, this is something we have been praying for maybe years already. But sometimes maybe it feels like, has God really brought anyone to seek, to bring in the harvest? Has God really sent anyone? But maybe we are looking in the wrong place for the answers. We pray and we look to God and say, please bring other people. Bring people who will reap the harvest. But what if when praying that prayer, God has called you to be a laborer of that harvest? What? No, not me. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too busy working. I've got a young family, and I mean, really, I don't even know how to be a laborer. And maybe some of the thoughts going through your head. Well, today is a great day because that's exactly what I want to look at now. The laborers are sent by God to proclaim the gospel in both word and deed to the harvest. As we consider our roles in God's harvest field, we might feel overwhelmed at times in the task of sharing our faith. But God has given us a simple yet powerful tool, the gospel message. And so today I want to share with you a simple acronym that we can take away that will equip every single one of us here, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, to be effective workers in this harvest. And this acronym isn't something I came up with by myself. It is from a Christian artist called Propaganda, but I've expanded on each of the letters for a bit more understanding for us. And the acronym is the gospel. If you've got your piece of paper with your questions on it, on the back, I've printed it out because I thought it's a great thing to take home for you, to read through again and again, to even carry with you if you ever need to consider using it when you want to share the gospel with someone. And it begins with G. G for God, the giver of life. Think about the most precious gift you've ever received. Now imagine a gift so perfect that it included life itself. And that's exactly what God gave us when he created the world. God saw that everything was good, everything that he made, and behold, it was very good in Genesis 1:31. There was no sin. Adam and Eve were in a perfect relationship with God. They had no needs. They had no sickness. But that wasn't enough. Satan convinced Eve that she could be like God. The serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. The seed was planted. It didn't take much time to corrupt the flesh. And then after that corruption, desire overcame her. And then from there on, the seed of sin began to spread. From this original sin, now we are all destined to be born as people, as Romans 3:23 says, who have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The G in our acronym of the gospel is a reminder that God is our creator. With the same breath that he gave us life, sadly we have now used to curse him. Which brings us to the O, our separation from God. All mankind recognizes it, that there is something wrong with the world. From the day of our birth, we are naturally inclined to follow our deep-seated desires to lawlessness and self-love. It's like having been stuck in the middle of nowhere in this critical situation and your phone reception just isn't connecting. We've been cut off from that one connection that could help us when we were desperately in need. Sin has separated us from God. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So naturally, in a situation like this, mankind is searching for what is wrong with us, what is wrong with the world, and more importantly, how can we fix what is wrong? Because unknowingly to them, they have this strange sense that they have been eternally separated from a God that they may or may not even believe existed. And so the O reminds us that because of our sinful nature, we are separated from God. But how can we fix it? The problem is S for sin, a problem that must be paid. As we just saw, sin separates us from God, but how do we fix it? How do we get back to that perfect relationship in the garden with God? The world says to us, do good deeds, help out others, be a nice person. But Galatians 3 verse 10 says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. The problem of sin cannot be paid by any amount of our good living, because even our greatest good acts are often extensions of our own selfish desires. The truth is that we cannot fix ourselves, and we actually need to stop trying, because it's impossible. Our good will never be good enough. Our sin only brings death, and the only way to fix sin is if someone would die in our place. And Romans 5 verse 7 says, for one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But even if we could find a person who would be willing, someone who would have to have lived a perfect life, because if they hadn't lived a perfect life and were willing to die, their payment wouldn't be worth it, or it wouldn't even be permanent either. So if the only person that could possibly meet these high standards that are required by God was God himself. And so he came to earth. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have seen his glory, glory of as of the only Son from the Father. God came to earth in the form of his Son Jesus, and he lived among us. The S for the gospel reminds us that sin separates us from God and is an impossible problem for us to fix by ourselves, which is why Christmas is such a joyful time, because it is when Jesus, the only one who could fix our problems, came as a baby to begin reconciling the world to God. Which brings us to P in the gospel, for paying, Jesus Christ's death. Jesus' birth began the reconciliation of the world, and that reconciliation was completed after Jesus had lived a perfectly righteous life and willingly went to the cross. As 1 Peter 2:24 says, he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By Jesus' wounds, you have been healed. Jesus' life was this perfect payment for our sins. And on Resurrection Sunday at Easter, when he rose again, that payment was secured. Jesus' pain, torture, and suffering was for our forgiveness, our restoration into a right relationship with God. And once again, that same breath that God breathed into us in creation, he used to redeem us forever. And so the P in the gospel is for payment that Jesus Christ made for us to be reconciled back to God and receive forgiveness for our sins. But God didn't just send Jesus to make payment for a select few. As Colin said, and the hats represent it here, Jesus Christ paid the price for anyone and everyone. Which brings us to the E of the gospel. Everyone. Salvation is a gift to all. And this is the biggest struggle in the world today with people believing. People know there's something wrong with the world. They can agree that there must be a price paid for our wrongdoings. They can even accept that Jesus lived and died on the cross. But they just can't understand that there's no strings attached. There's no work required on their part. But it clearly says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone can stand in full confidence. They can stand in full confidence knowing that they will receive God's free gift of forgiveness for past, present, and future sins. The E in the gospel reminds us that Jesus Christ's free gift of salvation was made available to everyone, every single person that has ever lived. But to receive that gift, there is only one thing we must do. Believe in Christ. And only then will we receive life. L is for life. Accept and receive. We must accept this gracious gift that God has offered for us. We can know about all these other points of the gospel that we've talked about. We can read our Bible daily. We can attend church every Sunday. But unless you believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, all of that is in vain. All of that is useless. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The gospel is clearly the good news that we have the ability to come back into this relationship with our Creator, just as it was in the beginning. And so the L in the gospel reminds us that a life redeemed, restored, and reconciled only comes when we choose to accept Jesus Christ's gift of salvation by believing in him. Now that we have these six vital truths of the gospel simply explained to us, God, our sins, paying everyone life, how do we take our place in this harvest season that is present before us? Just like carols playing in our shopping centres carried seeds of truth to each person that heard them, we too carry this life-changing message of the gospel. And I want to give you just a few practical ways to engage in the harvest this season that God has prepared for us. And the first one is very simple. It starts with your own circle. All of us here have people who we regularly see. Some of them already believe in Jesus and some of them don't. And what a great opportunity it is for us during this season when people are more open to hearing and receiving the good news. Maybe it's the person who cuts your hair, the doctor that you see regularly. Maybe it's your neighbor or even family and friends who don't know Jesus. These are opportunities that God has already placed in your path to be a laborer for the harvest. The second one, sometimes we can get so anxious about sharing our faith, thinking we have to know all the theological backgrounds and doctrines. But the reality is, the gospel is not about explaining theology. It's actually more about sharing personally what you have discovered in Christ through receiving the gospel message. And maybe for you, it was at a time like Christmas, at a carol's event, or maybe another occasion. But when you share a part of your story of how you accepted Jesus and received the gospel, that becomes so powerful to other people because that's real. That's something they can see right in front of them. And thirdly, maybe you're here this morning and you do feel like maybe I'm just not good enough or I'm inadequate to share my faith with anyone. I want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit is in each one of us and He will guide us. He will empower us in the conversations that He has prepared for us. All we have to do is just be willing to step out in faith and trust Him. This season presents us with an extraordinary harvest opportunity. The same carols that echo through our shopping centres can continue to echo through our conversations. The same hope that brought shepherds to a manger can bring our neighbours to believe in Christ. And together as God's harvest workers, as a family of believers, we need to remember that we carry this simple yet profound message. Mankind is sinful, and that penalty of sin must be paid. But thankfully for us, Christ paid it all, and a new life awaits to all who believe. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you that even though Christmas Day is over and done with, as Colin says, Christmas season is still happening, and it happens all year round, Lord. Because of Jesus entering the world as a baby all those years ago, every year since has been an opportunity for us to share the simple yet powerful message of the gospel. And Lord, it can be intimidating, even for myself at times. But Lord, we thank you that you are always with us. We thank you that we don't have to have a theological degree to be able to share with someone the impact that you have made on our lives because of this simple message. And we can easily share that with others so that they too can have a powerful impact in their lives coming to you. So I pray, as the harvest is plentiful, Lord, that you would send us out in confidence with your Spirit, with your gospel message to reap the harvest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.